Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win the ultimate bragging rights, a fantasy title.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right, welcome to Fantasy Football Today. We are recording this show on Wednesday, July 5th, but you are hearing it much later, either Sunday night or Monday morning the following week. And we welcome you. I'm Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Heath Cummings. We're talking sleepers on today's show. We're also talking Buffalo Wild Wings. Start your fantasy football league right by booking your draft party at B-Dubs. You'll get a free draft kit and enjoy a draft feast of boneless wings, three sides, and three shareables at a special price. Only at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports at participating locations while supplies last. And good afternoon, guys. I would say happy 4th, but, you know, by the time people hear this, that's going to be totally old news. So happy weekend.
Yeah, the 4th is old news. How was your wedding?
Wedding was great. We had a wonderful time. Thank you for asking.
Good. Congratulations, Adam. Many, many happy days ahead. And now that you're married, we can finally start talking about Azer Baby.
All right. Yeah, baby.
You as a dad, because that's going to be weird.
That's not going to be weird.
Well, how are people going to tell you apart from your child? Because you both look like little boys.
The hair, I suppose, like the arm hair.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I always assumed that you were that kid that always had this much arm hair.
No.
Like you were in third grade and you had just a full body of hair.
Well, we're going to do something fun today instead of talking about that.
Little Wolfie Azer.
We're going to talk about sleepers, but we're going to play Name That Sleeper. And I'm going to use Heath's sleepers, and I'm going to make Dave guess. And then on our last show, Dave said he wanted to go back and look at Jimmy Graham in the red zone over the last 2 years. And Dave, you did it. You did your homework.
Yes, I did, Professor Azer. And I'm happy to share my results with the rest of the class. And if you had Jimmy Graham last year, you're not going to be happy with what you're going to learn.
What? Well, I don't agree with that.
Real quick, too, Adam, because I know sometimes you get your feelings hurt because we don't do this. How was your holiday?
It was wonderful. Thank you.
Good.
We hosted.
See, to him, the holiday is just so far in the rear view. He just had the most amazing wedding. Tell everybody about what Jamie did at the wedding. Can you believe that?
He did the limbo. It was really embarrassing. He demanded that they play the limbo. Yeah. Just awful etiquette. All right,
and
Dave.
And Nando, his speech?
He didn't give a speech, not the wedding. The rehearsal dinner. He brought the house down. So, Dave, you ready to play Name That Sleeper?
I'm ready, Mr. Azer.
I'm also not sure if I mentioned this, but Jason Lockenfour wrote a column with his 2017 sleepers. It was not a fantasy column, but it's interesting nonetheless. We'll read those. We'll do some fill in the blank. And at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, we'll read your emails. All right, here we go. Heath's first sleeper was the number 10 quarterback in both 2015 and 2016. I'm going to switch to the first person. I went to high school with Clayton Kershaw. And I went to college with Muhammad Massaqua. You have to be, I guess, a pretty big fan to know that. I had the 9th most pass attempts in the NFL in 2016.
I think I know it.
Okay, go ahead.
Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford!
Muhammad Massaqua gave it away. I know the Clayton Kershaw tidbit I'd heard before, but I couldn't pair that with Stafford. But I knew Massaqua went to Georgia.
Good for you. Yeah, he did. And Stafford threw for, again, like I said, number 10 quarterback 2 years in a row. Threw for 4,300 yards, 24 touchdowns, not a lot of touchdowns, 10 picks in 16 games. First six games, Stafford averaged 24.3 fantasy points per game in a 6 point per passing touchdown league. That's huge. Last 10 games, he struggled. Only two games of more than 20 fantasy points, although he did have a dislocated finger his last four games. Heath, why is Matthew Stafford a 2017 sleeper?
Well, this gets back to what I look at when I look for sleepers, and it is very dependent on what all of you out there are doing. And what we're seeing is that Matthew Stafford is not one of the top 12 quarterbacks being drafted. In some drafts, he's not one of the top 14 quarterbacks being drafted.
Some drafts, he's not drafted.
Yes, in some drafts. So this... Like, you could put together a list of quarterbacks like Stafford, like Rivers, I'm sure you would say Dak, quarterbacks that are going to be there at the very end of the draft. It's one of the reasons we talk all the time about how you can wait at quarterback. But the thing I like about Stafford is I don't know why we would have any doubt that he's going to be a top 10 or 12 quarterback when all is said and done.
Well, okay, my question would be, does he have upside to have a huge year, to have like a top five, top six quarterback
type season? He does, because you look at last year when he was a number 10 quarterback, is that right?
Yes.
He finished as number 10.
With only 24 touchdowns.
Right.
He
16
threw
games.
32 the year before.
This is eerily similar to your Matt Ryan argument last year.
Yes, it is.
Where it's touchdown
regression.
Right.
Yes.
Last year was touchdown regression, and now it comes back up.
And it's also partially the fact that people just, like, Stafford has been better than what his ADP is the last 2 years, and we have no reason to think he'll be worse this year.
Can I rain on your parade?
Sure.
Arizona week one.
Okay.
At the Giants week two. Atlanta week three. At Minnesota week four. Carolina week five. Who's his left tackle again?
Yeah, that's the problem.
Start the season.
Greg Robinson, maybe?
There's a lot of question marks in those defenses that you just read off.
Name one.
We don't really know how much better Atlanta is going to be. I think they're going to be a better defense.
I think they are too. I particularly looked at the pass rushes for those five teams.
Right.
Because like Carolina's secondary, I'm just not sure about yet.
Oh yeah, I don't know that they can cover anybody.
So like if Stafford's sitting back in the pocket, I think he can put up good numbers against Carolina. But there's a lot of good pass rushes in those first five games. And Stafford got knocked down 37 times last year. I'm worried that that's still going to be a problem, even with all the other additions that Detroit made, because Taylor Decker's not there to begin the season.
I think it could still be a problem, just like it was last year when he was a top 10 quarterback.
Sure, that's fair. I hated how inconsistent he was. He started off the season great, and then people kept starting him and starting him,
yep.
And he kept sucking and sucking. 19 fantasy points, 18 fantasy points, 11. He got as low as 9. In week 15.
Yeah, he had a dislocated finger at that point, but your point is taken. He certainly, it's almost like as Marvin Jones's production went down, Matthew Stafford's production went down. Maybe you get more production from Ebron this year, but the 24 touchdowns is very low. That's ridiculous in 16 games. So, all right, that's sleeper number one.
What's his average been the last 4 years?
He's only had 1 year with more than 29, but he's usually in like the 28 range, Matthew Stafford, in terms of touchdowns.
Could we pass him on draft day and pick him up off waivers after the beginning of the season?
That's possible.
You're just taking a bet on him being bad at the beginning of the season.
That's kind of what I'm getting at.
All right, let's go to our next name that sleeper. It's a tight end, and unfortunately I think Dave already knows who this is. But he's entering his fifth season. Let the listeners play. I'm entering my fifth season, and I caught 4 touchdowns on 45 targets last year. Caught 3 touchdowns on 46 targets the year before. I averaged 5 points per game in standard scoring leagues. If I had played 16 games, I would have been the number 12 tight end in standard scoring leagues, but number 20 in PPR. By the way, I only played 11 games last year. And I averaged 1.22 fantasy points per target. So if you gave me 80 targets last year, I would have been the number 9 tight end in standard scoring leagues. And 80 is not even that much. That's not even top 15 at the position. So, Dave, who am I?
Not sure.
Oh, okay, good.
You didn't give a teammate clue.
My fake cousin Ronald likes to eat unhealthy food.
My fake cousin Ronald.
And hang out with kids.
Not just eat unhealthy food, but he is peddling it.
Yes.
A peddling cousin named Ronald?
Yes.
Yeah.
Has the same last name.
I play on the West Coast.
What type of job does Ronald have?
It's a very unique job. Very unique.
What kind? Why don't you say what the job is?
Well, he hangs out with kids and he eats and peddles unhealthy food all the time.
With kids?
Yes, and a burglar.
And a big, giant, purple glob?
Yes.
With a face that connects directly into a stomach without a neck or torso?
That's the one. Now, who's the tight end?
Vance McDonald,
Ronald McDonald's cousin. Heath, interesting sleeper, Vance McDonald.
And he is not someone that I would say you should draft in a standard 14-round, 12-team draft. But we all know a lot of leagues are much deeper than that, especially in terms of how many roster spots they have. And I do think he has a chance. I mean, you already gave some of the information to be a sneaky, low-end number one tight end.
Okay, but he would he be behind like Austin Hooper?
I think he's right in that same range.
Right, just give the man some targets. Vance McDonald like hardly ever gets targets. 45 targets a year, that's not going to cut it. But he does well when he gets the looks.
I did some digging on Kyle Shanahan's tendencies. I do this with all the first year, or not first year, but first time play callers when they're with the new team. I'll tweet out the link. You'll see it on my Twitter account at Dave Richard. 23% over the course of Kyle Shanahan's play calling career, 23% of the receptions have gone to tight ends. It's a pretty good number.
Yep.
What I will say about Shanahan is that he typically just plays to his strengths. If he ends up having a team with no good tight ends, guess what? You're not going to see a lot of tight ends on the field other than blockers, not necessarily pass catchers.
But if he goes with that theory in year one, he may not be able to put 11 people on the field.
Not in San Francisco, no.
Because they don't have a lot of good anything.
I've heard things about George Kittle, by the way, who's a rookie that the 49ers drafted that John Lynch talked up in a radio interview recently. Keep an eye on him.
Yeah, to a much lesser extent, I view this kind of like the Carlos Hyde situation, where there's been some talk that they don't even know if they like Vance McDonald very much in San Francisco.
But he just got a big contract.
I've kind of got the impression that Kyle Shanahan just has no idea who he likes in San Francisco yet. And there will be holdovers.
Not. Yeah.
And they will have success.
You want to know when he's going to like people? When training camp starts.
Yep.
Having him run around in shorts doesn't necessarily mean anything.
All right. Here is our next name, that sleeper. You ready, Dave?
Ready.
All right, here we are. I call you one for two so far. So I am not a starter at the moment. I was a backup last year as well. But I averaged 5.9 yards per carry. I was an undrafted free agent. My first career carry was a 75-yard touchdown.
First career carry was a 75-yard touchdown.
I share a last name with a fantasy football analyst, but I pronounce it differently.
It's Jalen Richard.
There it is. Dave Richards, long-lost cousin, Jalen Richard.
Yeah, if Vance McDonald has Ronald McDonald, then I've got Jalen Richard.
How come he doesn't pronounce it the way you pronounce it? Like, was that like a family, just like different brothers pronounce it differently or something? Or
he's French.
Oh.
I think he's just a little fancier.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, okay. Richard is just a little fancier.
When he drinks his tea, his pinky is up.
Yeah. Ah, I see. And you don't drink tea at all.
No.
All right. Well, I'll let Dave have the first word here. Do you think Jalen Richard is a sleeper?
I go back and forth between him and DeAndre Washington, who I like better in that backfield behind Marshawn Lynch, because I don't know if I can expect Marshawn Lynch to be very good. Did you see the video of him at the charity soccer game? Did he look a little thick?
Old? Oh, thick.
Thick.
Yes.
And
yes.
I don't mean Robin.
I'm thicker than I was 2 years ago.
I mean, I've always been thick, so here I am in my glass house throwing stones, but he looked a little extra beastie.
So
and the first
that's the
line that I wrote about Jalen Richard was, I could easily put DeAndre Washington's name here as well.
They were identical last year. I believe their rushing averages were close to identical either at one point in the season or after
the
season.
They were both hyper-efficient, though. They were very good.
5.9 yards per carry for Richard and 5.4 for Washington.
So the theory I have going is that the Raiders are going to use Marshawn Lynch almost like they use Latavius Murray. They don't want to overuse him, want to kind of regulate those carries, and then hopefully he's still healthy and able-bodied come the playoff run, and that's when they'll start to let him loose a little bit more. In the meantime, when they're limiting him to 15 carries, I think Washington and Richard can step in and take work off his plate. The one reason why I kind of like Washington better is because I think Richard could earn duties on special teams, and that keeps the Raiders coaches from putting him in on offense. Especially if they look at Washington and Richard similarly, which I think they do, that they both can catch passes. They're both very fast.
The tiebreaker for me was the fact that Richard was used more in the passing game last year than Washington was. And I think that's a role that's available week one, even if Marshawn Lynch is healthy.
How much more was it? Did it change toward the end of the year?
I don't have answers to either of those questions.
I'll look it up while someone talks.
Well, no, not really, because DeAndre Washington was very uninvolved in the passing game, at least in terms of targets and catches. But Heath, so the premise here is Marshawn Lynch could easily get hurt or be ineffective.
Yeah, this is not popular, and I think we'll get into it more later in the show. I think there is a very good chance that Marshawn Lynch is not the most talented running back on the Raiders. He might be the third most talented.
Wow. What happens though if he does get hurt? Because I don't know if these guys are big enough to be. I don't know if I should say that. I don't know if these guys are any good. They both were good last year, but when Latavius Murray didn't play the two games that he didn't play, Rashard had 19 carries in those two games and 5 catches all in one game. And that was Washington. Washington had 19 carries and 5 catches. Rashard had 12 carries and 8 catches.
So almost similar touches.
Yeah, right. It was frustrating. It was frustrating because you couldn't start either of them. They were nobody got featured. So you'd think things would be different this year in theory.
I think it's possible that things will be different. I think they're both available for a last round pick. Mm-hmm. And they've got a 31-year-old that hasn't been good in 2.5 years in front of them.
I've got Washington with more snaps in their last 3 games. Rashard had 15, 11, and 15. Washington had 25, 21, and 16. But Rashard lined up wide a little bit more often. Okay. Whereas Washington was more of a traditional running back.
All righty. Last one. Name that sleeper. Okay, this is a wide receiver, Dave. Wide receiver. I have been in the league more than 5 years. More than 5. I was the number 31 wide receiver in standard scoring leagues last year, number 40 in PPR. And I played 15 games. I'm now in my third team of my career, and I have gone further south with each new team, geographically.
I think I know it.
All right, I'll give you one more.
All right.
Last 7 games. By the way, third team of the career, gone further south with each new team geographically. Or farther south. Last 7 games of 2016, averaged 12.3 fantasy points per game in standard. That's amazing. 4 100-yard games, 3 touchdowns in the last 7 games. You ready?
D-Jax.
DeSean Jackson. Very good.
Yeah.
All right. I feel like you guys don't agree on DeSean Jackson. Heath says a sleeper. I don't think Dave is a big fan. Am I right?
I'm looking for DeSean Jackson at a value pick. I don't think he's kind of bustish to me, but.
Where do you consider a value for him? Because I'm taking him generally around 7, round 8 in that range.
I think I'm in the round 8 vicinity.
Okay.
I don't want to draft DeSean Jackson to be my number 3 receiver unless my first 7 picks include 2 stud receivers and 5 other really good players at other positions.
I love Jackson in the 7th round. I think there's a lot of talk about how he's not going to get enough targets to be a number 3 wide receiver. He's never really gotten a lot of targets. He hasn't had more than 100 targets since 2013. But it's because of those big plays that he's still able to produce. My favorite format for drafting DeSean Jackson is in the best ball format, because then you don't have to decide when to start him.
And do you downgrade DeSean Jackson in PPR since he's not really a catch guy? Okay.
Right.
Let's look at the wide receivers that are going around DeSean Jackson in Fantasy Pros ADP. Start at 30. 30th wide receiver off the board is Martavis Bryant. Then Kelvin Benjamin. Then DeSean Jackson, 32nd wide receiver off the board. Stephon Diggs and Jamison Crowder. Martavis Bryant, Kelvin Benjamin, DeSean Jackson, Stephon Diggs, Jamison Crowder. What do you make of that group of 5 and DeSean being in the middle there?
I would rather have DeSean than Kelvin Benjamin, for sure. I think he and Martavis are really interesting.
I think there's more upside with Martavis.
There is a lot of upside with Martavis. I think there's also more downside.
We know what his quarterback can do. We know what kind of coverage.
When his quarterback's there, though.
When his quarterback's there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But it's kind of, I feel like that's been established a little bit more. Hmm. It wouldn't surprise me if both Bryant and DeSean were totally boomer bustish for fantasy, where it almost doesn't matter who they play. You put them in your lineup and you just hope that they go off week in and week out. And then after 3 weeks of Dudsville, people will pull them for, Kevin White or whoever the flavor of the month is at that time. And then they go off when they're on your bench. That happens to me all the time. Yeah. Here's one thing that I like about DeSean Jackson. Do you know the number of targets that wide receivers had in Tampa Bay last year, other than Mike Evans? Strictly wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that number? I.e., how many targets are kind of up for grabs here?
I'm going to say 165.
Nope. 199.
199.
Now, that's not to say that he's going to get them all.
No, he won't.
But he should get the majority of them. 100 targets. How many did he have last year again? Oh, yeah. Heath?
I think it was 100 targets.
On the nose.
And DeSean Jackson was number 31 in fantasy and standard and number 40 in PPR. Would
right,
rather
so
have...
that's the concern. So he had 100 targets last year, and he finishes the number 31 receiver.
He only caught four touchdowns, three of them.
I will go back to the touchdowns thing, yeah, because he generally has had a better touchdown rate than he had last year.
Mm-hmm. Would you rather have DeSean Jackson or his former teammate, Jamison Crowder?
DeSean in standard, Crowder in PPR.
I think I'm going to go Crowder in both.
All right, well, that has been today's episode of Name That Sleeper.
That was a really terrible theme song I just heard for Name That Sleeper.
It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
It sounded like a child screaming in the night for his mommy and Heath making a noise.
You should have heard me singing Destiny's Child last night or Tuesday night. We were just playing music, watching fireworks, and Destiny's Child came on. Bills, Bills, Bills. And I was just nailing it. I was like, car! It was really good. I was doing the backup, just so you know. All right, so anyway, we're going to get to Dave's scouting report of Jimmy Graham and then some fill in the blank. But, you know, being a fantasy football league manager is tough. Buffalo Wild Wings knows that. So it's important to get a good first impression, and all of that starts with the draft. If you want your league to love you, then book your draft party at B-Dubs. You'll get a free draft kit and enjoy a special draft feast of boneless wings, three sides, and three shareables for a special price to feed your league. Oh, yeah. Feed your league. I mean, that's a pretty nice thing to do as a commish. Come in and get to drafting up some league manager love at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports at participating locations while supplies last. I'm still stuffed from the wedding, guys. So much food. You know? Feel that?
How was the wedding cake?
I wouldn't know anything about it. I wasn't invited.
So the wedding cake, we had like other desserts, and the wedding cake, we went, and I don't know how it was, but I'm assuming it was great. We went with strawberries and cream, which, you know, is very nice. We could have gone with a pistachio wedding cake, which would have been pretty bold, I'd say. How would you have felt
about that?
I'd
say that would be pretty gross.
You don't like pistachio?
No.
But we had all these other desserts, so like you didn't have to eat the wedding cake, so I thought it would have been cool to go with pistache.
Did you have a groom's cake?
No, what's a groom's cake?
A cake for the groom.
No. We had a wedding cake. You had a cake for the groom?
Yeah.
What?
I had my own cake, damn it.
That's
my wedding.
Pretty gluttonous.
Sounds like you've got some sort of, you know, second-rate wedding that you just had.
Well, look, I mean, as we know, it's only Wednesday. I guess I could, in theory, have a groom's cake yesterday. So, Dave, we talked about Jimmy Graham, and on our last show, we noted that Jason Lockenfour, our NFL insider for CBS Sports, he looked at some stats, and he said that since coming to Seattle, Jimmy Graham's been very inefficient in the red zone. And we said, you said, I'll take a look at all those red zone targets. So over the last 2 years, he has, what, five touchdowns in the red zone? Just not very good.
Yes, yes.
What did you come away with? What were your conclusions?
Well, he should have scored a lot more than just five touchdowns. He was targeted a decent amount. Obviously, as a fantasy owner, you want him targeted exclusively when the Seahawks are down there. But he still had... I counted 31 total. That includes plays called back by penalty, be it on the Seahawks or the opponent. He drew some pass interference calls, for example, on red zone targets. So those don't count when you look at your stats. But 31 tries over how many games was it? Like 25 games?
Yes.
Something like that?
Pretty sure, yeah.
You kind of want that number to be higher. Five touchdowns total. There were nine other plays that should have been touchdowns. Like you're watching the play, and Graham will have the ball ripped from him. A smaller defender will let Graham almost pretty much make the catch, and then the defender knocks it down, and Graham doesn't hold on to it tightly enough. Or the ball bounces off his hands. So these plays, there were 13 plays total where Wilson was just anywhere from just barely off target to completely off target, because this is Russell Wilson. There's a pretty big range there. And there were six plays specifically, six of those nine where I said there were nine more plays where they should have been touchdowns, six plays specifically where Graham had the ball knocked away or off his hands. It was just really, really disappointing to see. And it also made me go back to the conversation I had with Jimmy Graham at the Pro Bowl. And I wanted to run those quotes past people because this is what he was, where he was at coming into the 26th season. He went 6 months before he could even jog. He went into the season. He didn't think anybody expected him to be back to close to what he ended up being. And he had to learn how to walk again. Like, think about that.
Yeah, I know. It's like, crazy. And Dave,
at one point you're learning how to walk, and then the next point you're playing football. So I think there's room for him to get going, get more targets, and hang on to that damn football in the red zone.
I think it's encouraging. Like, at the top of the show, you said Jimmy Graham owners wouldn't like it, but I actually think...
Well, they didn't like it last year.
No, they didn't like it last year, but I think there's so many... If he's going to get opportunities, I feel like Jimmy Graham will be able to convert more in the red zone.
Right.
I feel much better about the idea that Jimmy Graham got targets and didn't convert them in the red zone than Jimmy Graham isn't getting targets in the red zone.
Right. Yeah. So it's not like an Amari Cooper situation. And let me just clarify. When I said that there were nine more plays that could have been touchdowns, if he converts all nine of those, we're talking about 14 touchdowns in the red zone in the last 2 years. And that's a number that everybody would go bonkers over. Jimmy Graham would be the number three tight end in fantasy, maybe even close to number two to touching Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I think I think he'd be drafted right around when Jordan Reed gets drafted, which is probably in our leagues anyway. It's been like fourth round in a 12-team league.
And of course, like everything else in life and fantasy football, Eddie Lacy is involved in what's going to happen to Jimmy Graham in 2017.
It's true.
It all comes back to Eddie Lacy.
Jimmy Graham is the fifth tight end off the board, according to Fantasy Pros, behind Rob Gronkowski. This is kind of baffling to me. Jordan Reed, well, I guess not that crazy. Jordan Reed and Travis Kelce are basically tied in ADP. And then Greg Olsen and then Jimmy Graham at 71 overall. Like, Olsen's 46th overall. He's the fourth tight end. And then you've got a major gap. You've got 25 picks.
It's late round six.
Yeah, in between Olsen and Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, if Lacy ends up playing well for Seattle, then he's going to take a lot of those touches inside the five that would normally be a Russell Wilson pass. And he'll score. And that'll be great for whoever has Eddie Lacy on their team, but it will stink for everybody that's got Jimmy Graham. So we need to, if you want Jimmy Graham on your fantasy team, if you have him on your fantasy team, you really have to root against the Seattle run game coming back to life.
Our email address is fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. A little programming note for you here. So you're hearing this on Sunday or Monday, July 9th or 10th. And this is going to be a two-show week. This will be our last two-show week. We are going to pick up the intensity starting next week. So Heath and Chris are going to rock your world with a little fantasy football talk later this week, looking like Thursday. And then next week, I'm back from the honeymoon. Dave and Jamie are back from their little time off. Heath is going to go anywhere. We love Heath. And we are going to have, it, I would say, at least four episodes per week going forward. So it's going to really pick up in a week. Get excited for that. I can't wait. Let's do fill in the blank. These are from your tweets. At Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R. At Dave Richard, singular. At Heath Cummings, senior. At Heath Cummings, S-R. And at Jamie Eisenberg, J-A-M-E-Y. This is Adam White on Twitter. Fill in the blank. Kevin White will be the blank best wide receiver on the Bears this season. Kevin White, the blank best wide receiver on the Bears.
I'll go second.
I don't know if I feel good about naming anybody else as the second.
Adam, would you name me the rest of the Bears wide receivers?
Oh, no. Can I?
Yes.
Marcus Wheaton?
No,
Kendall Wright?
Cameron Meredith is...
Victor Cruz?
No, we said second. We were saying Meredith.
The assumption is Cameron Meredith is the number one guy.
Okay.
And I might have heard something similar from someone who might know.
I believe more in the possibility that Kevin White's upside is still attainable than I think Dave does, but I don't think you can rank him ahead of Meredith at this point. He's going to have to get back on the field, stay on the field, and actually show the explosiveness that made him an early pick, because it kind of looked like last year it was gone.
Yeah, Kevin White's immense upside is a freight ship without anybody on it floating around in the upper Pacific Ocean.
But it still exists, and someone could find it any day now.
no one's looking for it.
Well, why are you just counting him out so easily?
Because I think the injuries that he suffered could have robbed him of some of those elite skills.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's explosive as he once was.
Well, but we don't know that he isn't.
We've got the film from last year to suggest that he's not.
All right, Cameron Meredith, by the way, 4 100-yard games last year in his second season in the NFL. He only had 6 games with 8 or more targets, and in those 6 games, Cameron Meredith averaged 11.83 fantasy points per game in standard scoring leagues, a little bit worse than that DeSean Jackson stretch, but still, I mean, I think Jordy Nelson averaged 12.5 fantasy points per game for the season. He was the number one wide receiver. That's in standard. When Cameron Meredith had 8 or more targets in 6 games, he averaged 11.83 fantasy points per game. It's easy to do that in 6 games. I'm not saying he would do that all year, but it just showed you he was really good when he got the targets. This is from Lucas.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily believe in Cameron Meredith as this long-term great receiver, but the opportunity is so good this year, especially if White doesn't find his potential, that he's a pretty easy guy to draft as your number 3 or 4 wide receiver.
All right, here's Lucas. There will be blank wide receivers ahead of Antonio Brown at season's end.
1. I'm still going with Julio, number 1.
0.
0. Mike Dyer. Kareem Hunt will get blank touches.
Most of the.
Most of the.
150.
Ooh, that suggests that Spencer Ware will get more.
Yes.
Or maybe you're a Charcandrick West fan. I don't know.
No, I'm not a Charcandrick West fan.
Wait, are you a CJ Spiller fan? I forget.
And I have had Ware ranked ahead of Hunt all along. That's what I always say in our drafts whenever Dave takes Kareem Hunt and I take Spencer Ware.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if there are some games that Kareem Hunt starts this year. I don't dislike him. I just don't think he's special or necessarily better than Spencer Ware. And so I believe that Ware starts with the inherent advantage that Andy Reid trusts him and he has the job. And I don't know that Hunt can wrestle it away from him without an injury or Ware doing something dumb.
I'm trying to find a funny tweet, by the way, that's a little off subject. I'll get back to you in just a second. So I asked people on Twitter for fantasy football fill in the blank, and James Ferguson said, blank football, it's still baseball season.
Yeah, I don't know how I can turn that around to make it anti-baseball.
It's definitely football season as well, okay? I mean, let's be honest here. We're almost at training camp. It's football season, but it is also baseball season. Hooray for baseball. Listen to Fantasy Baseball Today. Jonathan Kerman, Todd Gurley will be a top blank running back this year.
15.
8 and 15. Very interesting. Well, actually, we already talked at length with Scott Fish on the Thursday podcast about Todd Gurley from that email that's in the notes. So we'll skip over this one here on today's show.
Okay.
Luis. Jameis Winston will throw blank touchdowns this season.
I got my number.
30.
31.
Okay, that's pretty good. More or less than Matthew Stafford?
The same.
The same. 31.
Exactly.
30.
He'll throw more. And he'll run for as many, too.
30 touchdowns, by the way, is a pretty good benchmark. Like, you are probably going to have a good year if you throw 30 touchdowns. Good fantasy year.
Yep.
All right.
And I think we all think Jameis Winston's going to have a good fantasy year.
Yeah. Still haven't.
He's a top 8 quarterback for all of us, right?
I've got him 6th.
Wow. Ooh. Wowzers. Yeah. What is their identity going to be like? That's what I want to know for the Bucs.
I think they are going to end up leaning on Jameis more than anybody in their backfield. And I'll still tout the idea of getting Doug Martin and Jacquizz Rodgers to kind of fill one of your running back spots, whether it's your third, maybe your second, if you're really desperate and you need something at running back. But I still believe that Jameis will take control of this one. They didn't add DeSean Jackson and O.J. Howard and Chris Godwin to let Doug Martin come back and be the hero of the offense. I just don't see that happening.
I will say the one thing that Jameis has got to do this year is stop throwing the ball to the other team so much. because I think that could cut into his volume if he doesn't cut that out.
They got very frustrated with Jameis Winston last year. He's going to have to take a step up. There's no doubt about it. You've been talking about it a lot, Heath, that Mariota has been a better quarterback than Winston, right?
I have Mariota ranked ahead of Winston, yes.
Okay, and here's the tweet I finally found. I don't know what... I don't remember what prompted somebody to retweet this to me, but on April 30th, 2015, more than two years ago, just before the NFL draft, I wrote on Twitter, "Okay, I guess I'll be in the minority here. I like Zach Mettenberger. Tennessee should not draft Mariota. Don't be whack. Stick with Zach."
Wow.
That was a bad tweet, Adam.
It's pretty bad.
And so many, on so many different levels. Like, the football analysis was obviously lacking. The don't be whack, stick with Zach was just awful.
Well, come on, really?
Yeah.
Well, give me a better Zach Mettenberger pun.
Or yeah, just I don't know if there necessarily is
yeah,
one.
Yeah, don't make one. Yeah. Don't force it. I know why I didn't like Mariota, because there had not been one, as I recall, there had not been one good player from Oregon under Chip Kelly in the pros. Like, no, it had never translated. And there we go. It translated. Right. Back to fill in the blank. This is from the Vegan Pagan, our boy. Blank mm-hmm. leads all rookie running backs in half point or half PPR points in 2017. The best rookie running back in half PPR.
Half PPR points? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Like, you just took it to a whole nother level.
I'm just reading what he wrote.
Adam just complicated a very simple question. Vegan Pagan's in a half point per reception league. He wants to know who the best rookie running back is going to be.
That's right.
And I'm going to say Leonard Fournette.
I think that's an easier answer for you than it is for me, because I do have Fournette ranked ahead of Christian McCaffrey in standard, but in a PPR format, I have McCaffrey ranked one spot ahead of Fournette.
Wow.
In half,
bold.
In half PPR, I would go with Fournette, but it's very close.
This is Ruben. Blank will start hot, then fall off late, like a reverse Russell Wilson that I can sell high on. Hashtag 2016 Marvin Jones.
I'm going right to my scheduled cheat sheet.
Yeah, please do. Well, Martellus Bennett is like the, you know.
He's the poster boy
yeah,
for this.
Yeah, he's the stock answer here.
Oh, there's one team that's got a really good schedule to begin the year.
Yes, I couldn't think of that team. We talked
is
about
it. Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh starts with Cleveland. No, Roethlisberger is a buy-low candidate because he's got a lot of home games at the end of his schedule. They do start with Cleveland, though. Dave, go get that schedule thing out.
I'll go with Larry Fitzgerald. Okay. He's done it 2 years in a row.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. All right, it's time to talk about Jason Lock and Forrest sleepers.
Are we going to do a big guessing game on this one, too?
No, I didn't want to kill the game. Got to leave some name that sleeper for later on in the season or in the offseason.
This player's favorite soup is New England clam chowder. He wears a size 13 cleat.
Go ahead, keep going.
His favorite show was Malcolm in the Middle, but now that that's off the air, he likes Bob's Burgers.
And his favorite candy would be M&M's, because his initials are MM, and he is Malcolm Mitchell. So this was not a fantasy column. You know, I don't know that this is supposed to be necessarily like a stat increase, a huge stat increase for these guys, but just better years. But I still think it's interesting to talk about from our perspective. So why don't you tell me if you could see this guy being a fantasy sleeper. And yes, the first one is Malcolm Mitchell, Patriots wide receiver, who's going to do his thing on the outside while Cooks and Edelman work the inside and Gronkowski, obviously. Malcolm Mitchell, what do you guys think?
I like Malcolm Mitchell a lot. I would like to have him as one of my sleepers. I can't hardly find enough targets for Edelman and Cooks. So I don't know what type of injuries they're going to have to be for Malcolm Mitchell to get the targets necessary to have a good fantasy season. His recipe for success is that he has one of those touchdown heavy years, like a James Jones, Dante Moncrief type thing. And he scores 8 or 9 touchdowns despite only catching 40 balls.
Hey.
Yeah, so nobody's drafting Malcolm Mitchell, right?
Why would he be tagged as a sleeper for a big year if the Patriots went out and got a guy who can kind of do what he does? Let's play on the outside. I'd be stunned if the Patriots brought in Brandon Cooks to be an inside player like Julian Edelman.
Okay, let's go to our next
one.
That
seems
then.
Like a bad role for Cooks.
Let's go to our next one from Jason. Dante Moncrief. I know Heath's not a huge fan, but also Paxton Lynch. Paxton Lynch was one of these guys, but Dave and I talked about that on last week's show, on Monday's show. So Dante Moncrief is in the column here, and Jason's expecting a big name from him. He could be a vulture in the red zone, especially with Dwayne Allen and Kobe Fleener no longer around. Moncrief was among the NFL leaders with an 80% catch rate in the red zone, with 6 touchdowns among them last season. So I think that's pretty much the premise here. And you got to buy into that if you're going to buy into Dante Moncrief. So
I mean, it's almost like what you were talking about with Malcolm Mitchell, where in order for him to have that great value, he's got to score a lot of touchdowns. The one nice thing is that we've seen it from Moncrief before, where he takes great advantage of being in single coverage. Indianapolis in the red zone is a tough team to handle because anybody they put on the field can catch the ball from Andrew Luck. It means defenses are spread a little thin. It almost always leaves Moncrief in one-on-one coverage. And he's almost matchup proof, I would say. Like the only teams that I would say, watch out, don't start Moncrief, is when he plays against Denver, because I know that those corners will play one-on-one and they're good.
Yeah, Heath, would you rather have DeSean Jackson or both of you? DeSean Jackson or Dante Moncrief?
DeSean Jackson.
Moncrief. I think Indianapolis is a team that will throw the ball. This is assuming that Andrew Luck's shoulder is okay. They're going to throw the ball a ton. Their defense is rat. And their run game is not great.
Moncrief.
They're going to have to throw.
Moncrief or your favorite Titans wide receiver?
Moncrief.
I think Decker and Corey Davis and maybe Rishard Matthews too.
Can I point out one other thing about Moncrief? Because we're talking about how, well, gee whiz, he's going to have to score a lot of touchdowns. At Ole Miss, he averaged 15.2 yards per catch. And I know that that's college and he's in the pros. He's been under some pretty serious regression, I guess you could say, when it comes to receiving average in his NFL career.
Yeah.
Couldn't you see that going the other way one of these years?
My problem with Moncrief is still that he doesn't actually get that many targets per game. He's not that efficient as turning targets into catches, and he's not very efficient in turning catches into yards. That seems like several problems for me, and he's got to fix multiple things. I don't see any way Andrew Luck's going to target him 120 times.
Okay. All right, let's go to our next one. We'll go to two running backs here. So Malcolm Mitchell and Dante Moncrief are Jason's sleeper wide receivers. Two running backs, one we've talked at length, Isaiah Crowell. I know Dave agrees with that. Heath,
yeah,
I love
him.
You like
love
it too? Okay. And Terrence West, who will have the head start in that Baltimore backfield, obviously. But I just don't know how good Terrence West is. He is a 3.9 yards per carry guy for his career. He averaged 4 yards per carry last year. Entering his fourth season, was about 24th at running back. He was 25th in standard, 23 in PPR last year. Do you think that this is a sleeper, Terrence West?
Yes. Yes, I would agree with this.
Why?
Well, hold on a second. Are you calling him a sleeper for the entire year? Like, because he's either going to get drafted late or he's not going to get drafted at all. And I think in almost every single league, he's going to get drafted late. He's a great target for the zero RB guy. He's a good running back depth option for anybody.
Love pairing him with Doug Martin.
Because by the time Martin comes back, West will face some.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure that Kenneth Dixon is just going to come back and take the job the first week that he's there.
No, won't happen.
Not
even with a good training camp.
I think West could still have some use later in the year, but yeah, I would expect I'm going to start Martin over West after Martin gets back.
Do you think Martin comes back in week 4 and just takes over?
I feel much more confident in that.
And another reason why Jason likes Terrence West, other than Kenneth Dixon being suspended, is that they're bringing Greg Roman onto the coaching staff as their running game guru, and they're going to run the ball more, and Greg Roman has had success with running backs. So
he has. I'm a little worried about the shape of that Ravens offensive line. I don't know if it's going to be as good as it's been in the past. A couple of years ago, it was amazing.
What shape is it? Is it like a circle or...
It's like 5 circles.
Most offensive lines are. Okay, and finally, we have 2 tight ends on Jason's sleeper list, and these are deep sleepers. Jesse James of Pittsburgh and Austin Seferian Jenkins, who, by the way, little known fact, has some history with Josh McCown. They were teammates in Tampa Bay 2 years ago, 2014.
They were. It's true.
Yeah.
And Sperrin Jenkins has been working very, very hard to get back into shape. He was impressive at OTAs. We haven't had a chance to talk about a Jets tight end in years because the previous offense that was there never used tight ends. Now this is a West Coast scheme. Theoretically, a tight end will be involved on every single play. Bootlegs and rollouts and those types of plays always seem to benefit the short and mid-range targets. That's what a tight end usually is. I still can't see myself drafting ASJ.
Or Jesse James, but who is more likely
Oh, hold on a sec.
Oh, Cleveland in week one.
Jesse James.
Cleveland in week one.
Too. But I could also see myself drafting Xavier Grimble, who might also be a tight end in Pittsburgh, worth a little bit of a look-see. He's more explosive than James. A little bit more upside with him. It's just a matter of how big of a jump he takes in training camp in the preseason. But one of those two guys, whoever that tight end is for Pittsburgh, you miss on tight ends and you're in round 12 of your draft, you go right to the Steel City, get yourself one of those sandwiches at Primati Brothers, and you get a Steelers tight end because in week one they play the Browns.
I think the T is silent. I think it's Primati Brothers. But you had a groom's cake, so you probably would know better than I would.
Dave is leaving the room. He's disappointed that you corrected him.
Actually, I coughed.
Oh,
okay. Welcome back. So, you know, the thing with Safarian Jenkins is it's not like he's not a good talent. He was a second-round draft pick. He's just had off-field demons. And I know he's on the Jets, so that's also a knock. But it's interesting. There have been a lot of good reports about Austin Safarian Jenkins this offseason.
There's been a lot of good reports about Austin Safarian Jenkins many off-seasons, though.
Yeah, I don't know if it's only been the off-field stuff that's held him back. I can't eliminate that possibility.
Sure.
Okay. All right, there you go. There's Jason Lock and Forest Sleepers. Let's read some emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Here we go. Jimmy in Palm Beach, Florida. Why is everyone down on Marshawn Lynch with that offensive line? And also, why so low on Randall Cobb?
Randall Cobb's targets in a year where the Packers threw the ball like 600 times, went from 8.1 per game to 6.5 per game. So think of it. They're throwing the ball more than they want to, and Randall Cobb is getting less of a share.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Adam, tell me why.
Yeah, because Devontae Adams took over.
Well, I would say it's more like Randall Cobb's role was minimized, and I think they kind of lost some faith in Cobb after 2015.
It's possible. All right, so that's
and
why.
And so I think he's going to be stuck in that role. And as for Marshawn Lynch, we've talked about this.
He's old.
He didn't play last year.
He wasn't good the year before.
When he plays soccer, he doesn't kick the ball. He actually picks it up with his hands, which you're not supposed to do. And then he runs slowly into the goal. He's funny as hell.
Two words.
He's a sharp dude.
Two words for you. A-Rod.
Aaron Rodgers?
No, the other one.
Alex Rodriguez?
Yes.
What about him?
Took a year off, had a season for the ages.
What position did he play in the NFL, Adam?
I'm just saying, I don't think that a year off is a bad thing. Adrian Peterson took a year off, basically got suspended after one game, two games, and then had a great season. I think it's actually a good thing for an older running back to have a year off. Now, I'm not saying that I don't agree with what your take on Marshawn Lynch. I just... because he was bad last time we saw him. I think that's the difference between him and Peterson.
Unless he somehow did not age over the last year, I cannot agree.
Well, he's 31. And if he were 30, he's 31, but he took a year off. So isn't he 30 in football years?
I don't think aging works that way.
I think it kind of does when you're talking about he took a whole year off and didn't take a physical pounding. I don't know that he's 30. Maybe he's like 30 and a half. We'll split the difference. But...
if he's 30 and a half, he's going to turn 31 this year anyway, so.
No, he's already turned 30, April birthday.
Okay.
So I just think that I get why you guys think Marshawn Lynch is being taken too high. Personally, I don't think the year off thing is a bad thing for him. I think that's a good thing for him.
Well, maybe I could agree if he was Marshawn Lynch the year before he took the year off.
Okay, right. Totally.
But he wasn't
agree there.
Healthy or good then.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, another two more words for you, Heath. Aledmys Diaz.
Aledmys Diaz.
Yeah, Aledmys Diaz has been horrible this year. He's a Cardinals shortstop. And at the beginning of the year, everybody on Fantasy Baseball Today was going, why is the rest of the industry so down on Aledmys Diaz? He should be drafted higher. Well, now he's in the minors. So I hope Marshawn Lynch is not the guy that CBS is wrong about.
Yeah, I've got two words for you. Marketing ploy. It's maybe more about selling t-shirts than playing football.
It could be. All right, next email is from Matt from a city near Chicago. Hint, Chicago.
Elmwood Park.
Hey, Trey, Mike, Paige, and John. Okay. I know you've addressed this. One running back and one wide receiver worth your first two picks. That is something that we often, recommend. I recently was in a PPR draft. Oh, is this Fish, by the way? I think it's Fish. Trey, Mike, Paige, and John. I recently was in a PPR draft, picking at 5. My top picks are Julio, then Doug Baldwin, then Travis Kelce, Ty Montgomery, and Isaiah Crowell in the 5th round. So Julio, Baldwin, Kelce, Montgomery, Crowell. He most certainly did not go running back, wide receiver there. Do you like this strategy, basically? Do you like that start, or should he have invested a little bit earlier in a running back? Julio, Baldwin, Kelce, Montgomery, Crowell.
I love that start. I like going running back and a wide receiver at the back of the first round. At round 5, I love this start. I think it's outstanding.
But do you think he reached a little bit on Montgomery, though? Could he have ended up with a better running back there than him?
Like Crowell?
I like Ty Montgomery. I would have taken probably Crowell ahead of Montgomery.
I would have, in
but
a heartbeat.
Having Montgomery and Crowell as my two running backs, I feel very good about it. I think, and especially in PPR, Montgomery is a solid number two running back.
Yeah.
And to answer your question, to get two of those top 12-ish receivers, because I think Baldwin, we're not putting him in that elite class.
Oh, he's...
You might.
I am, yes.
You might. And he does catch a lot of passes, so PPR, this is a very good thing. You can't argue with that start.
Yeah, it's just I just want to caution people. I don't think you're getting Isaiah Crowell in the 5th round. You know, he got lucky.
No, I think you can get Crowell in the 4th and Montgomery in the 5th, though.
If I'm being nitpicky, do we know how many teams are in this league?
No.
Because if it's a 10-team league, I'm not sure if I'm as impressed.
Yeah, okay. This is from Jacob from a town near Minnesota.
Near Minnesota.
So like maybe somewhere in Iowa
or Wisconsin. I think it's a town near Minneapolis.
Canada.
Well, he said a town near Minnesota. I don't know what
I'm saying. No, we're looking at the same email you are.
Really?
Hi, I am Jacob from a town near Minneapolis. I am in a 10-team standard auction.
I just had my wedding yesterday. I'm exhausted, guys. Give me a break.
All right. You're off the hook this time.
Okay. I'm in a 10-team standard auction league, and our league is implementing a redshirt rule. Basically, if you draft a rookie player and don't play the rookie for the entire season, you can keep them next year for $1. Each team can keep only one rookie, and each rookie can be kept only once. Knowing you can keep a rookie for their sophomore season at $1, if you redshirt them, which player would you suggest I target in the draft? That's a really cool rule. I like that. Who would you target?
Worth getting Leonard Fournette and then not using him at all?
I don't think so.
That's not what you're supposed to do, of course.
That's pretty funny. If you load up on running back and you just try not to use Fournette, and then maybe you have to burn his redshirt later. But who's like a running back that might not have much value this year but could going forward?
Just running backs or any position from any of the rookies?
I guess any
believe
rookie,
it or not,
any rookie, yeah.
The first name that came to my mind was Jake Butt in Denver.
Yeah, and he's looking more and more like he may actually play this year, but I think Jake Butt's an excellent choice.
Because that's a guy who could end up being quite good.
But you can only
running
keep him...
Backs,
wait. Let's think about this. You can only keep Jake Butt for 1 year. So are you really going to... Like, in 2018, are we really spending a dollar on Jake Butt if he doesn't do anything this year?
I think he's going to do something this year in the second half of the year.
He could.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mike McCoy has used his tight ends a lot, both in Denver and San Diego, and they don't have other good tight ends there.
Okay.
Now, look, I could start naming a bunch of running backs that would fit this bill. So guys that aren't necessarily going to have a big role this year but could evolve next year, I'd start with Marlon Mack in Indianapolis. Aaron Jones might end up having a decent role in Green Bay. That's a name that we've got to keep an eye on. D'Angelo Henderson in Denver, Elijah Hood in Oakland. I think those would be the four names at the running back position that I would put there, where maybe they end up in a decent role in 2017. At wide receiver, I would say Juju Smith-Schuster, Cooper Kupp, Tywan Taylor could be that guy, Kenny Golladay.
Mm-hmm, that's who
or
I was
Chad
thinking,
Williams.
Yeah.
One of those two guys might be perfect.
You know, I like Josh Reynolds a lot. I will also say a guy that's starting to fall a little bit in drafts, and if he's not healthy for camp, is going to fall a lot more, is Mike Williams.
That would be
like the best.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Because you see him falling in drafts, and you wonder if he's going to fall in the auction.
Yeah, oh, I think he is.
You know, you say, so just to go back to Jake Butt. Like, you say Jake Butt, I actually think that Evan Ingram and David Njoku are...
Now that I'm looking at the tight ends, I might agree with you on Njoku.
Yeah, Ingram and Njoku, because Brandon Marshall is a two-year deal. I don't know that he'll be on the Giants next year. And I think those two guys were first-round. They were. I know they were first-round NFL picks. That's a good... It's a good spot. And also, I don't think Evan Ingram and Njoku are getting drafted in most 12-team leagues.
Butt doesn't hurt his knee, though, doesn't he get drafted ahead of Ingram and Njoku?
No.
Probably.
No, I don't think so.
I think so.
Maybe not Njoku.
Well, Ingram went ahead of Njoku. Of course, only the Giants.
Hey,
just
can't
because he went to
that.
Ole Miss and Eli wanted an Ole Miss.
I don't think Jake Butt is that type of athlete, but... I mean, nobody is. David Njoku is probably already the most athletic player in the NFL. So, you know, can't really hold Jake Butt to that standard. But that's a joke because I have a thing for Njoku. Okay, I'm going to end this show. I'm going on my honeymoon. Bye, everybody. Thank you to Dave and Heath. This was good. This was good stuff. Heath and Chris will be back later this week, looking like Thursday, for another Fantasy Football Today podcast. Everybody, enjoy your week. Get ready for some serious podcasting next week. See you later.
Bye.